I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to start out by reading verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Here comes John the Baptist on the scene bringing a message from the desert. This desert could have described really the faith of some. It was very dry and very lacking of substance and of the living water. And this camel hair clothed, locust-eating preacher brings about a very radical message for the time. He made it clear at the beginning that his message was to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was not the Messiah, but was simply sent to get the path ready. And he brought a message of repentance. And that repentance involved change in someone's life, and for some, they got it. They understood exactly what John meant, and so they came to the Jordan River confessing their sins and were baptized. But for others, they didn't quite understand. And we're talking about the religious, those who stood on their own works, those who held to the letter of the law. They focused on their traditions instead of learning the heart of God. And so they received a different message. They were so focused on their exterior faith, being a seed of Abraham, being an Israelite. And John's message to them was very simple. God is no longer focused on your physical ties to Abraham, but he is now focused on your spiritual ties to Jesus Christ. And his message also contained that change is no longer a physical act like circumcision, but is now a change that comes from the inside out. The change that God desires makes room for the Holy Spirit within the life of the believer, and it starts with the heart and the motives. And so this morning, I want to look at what God does not want us to do. Let's focus on the Pharisees for just a minute and see how Jesus was constantly trying to teach them how to change from the inside out. And we're going to see this morning from the Pharisees, if you don't want to change from the inside out for the Lord, then this is exactly what you should do, is what the Pharisees did. But I know that if you're here today, that you have a desire to change as God wants you to change. And so we're going to take a stroll this morning very quickly through the book of Matthew, hitting several passages where Jesus talked to the Pharisees and to the scribes. We're going to start in chapter 13 of Matthew. Matthew 13, verses 10 through 15. Matthew chapter 13 is where Jesus begins preaching to the people in parables. And his disciples come to him and ask him, "Well, why are you teaching in parables?" And he said in verse 11, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." The first thing that the Pharisees did to hinder themselves from being changed from the inside out is they closed up their heart to the Word of God. Jesus' message no longer impacted their lives. And what Jesus means by saying those who don't have even what they have will be taken away seems to mean as though their willingness to accept the Word of God is what he's talking about. You know, the Pharisees had a responsibility to accept the Word of God. They have set themselves apart to live to a higher standard, a stricter training of learning God's Word. And you would think that because of this, they would have received the Word and received Jesus' message with gladness, understanding He was the Messiah. But they have shut up their heart. They lost their ability to see and hear God through His Word. It's not that God wanted them to do this, but because of their hardness of heart and selfishness, He could not help them anymore. They had closed up their heart to the Word of God and were no longer able to be changed from the inside out. The second thing that they did is found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Here's in verse 8, Jesus says, "These people draw to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Their worship became mere lip service. And I think that this can become a real testing point for many of us, because they became so ritualistic and routine in their worship that they totally missed the point. This is why Jesus said in John 4:24 that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth worship is such a unique balance. It not only focuses on doing things the right way, but also having the right motives and the right heart in doing those things. It means allowing yourselves many times to become vulnerable in your worship and using your entire heart and soul to praise God. If we were to describe the Pharisees in our current day, here's what they would look like. They would be described as those who are here every Sunday, but only in body, not in mind. They sing, but not with understanding. They take the Lord's Supper, but don't give it any serious thought. They go to Bible class, but don't take the lessons to heart to be able to grow as a Christian. They're here, but they're not present. They take a seat in the pew, but don't join their heart together in worship. And it could be that some of these same people is who Jesus is describing in Matthew 7, where Jesus gives a scene of judgment where he casts these people out of his presence, and they say, "But Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your name." And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, for you practiced lawlessness." Maybe they had lost their heart and lost the focus of their worship. The next thing that we see the Pharisees do is found in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. They come to Jesus, testing him, asking him for a sign. Now, I don't know how much you know about Jesus' ministry on earth, but it was full of signs and wonders and miracles here while he was here on this earth. He had fed 5,000 people. He had walked on water. He had raised people from the dead. He had healed the sick. And certainly these people would have seen him as they would have followed Jesus around, as Jesus had basically become a local celebrity. And so many people were seeking for Jesus to do something for him. And these people many times followed Jesus. And when Jesus would begin to teach about the kingdom of God, they would begin to question him just like this, asking for a sign. And what we see here that the Pharisees had done so that they could no longer be changed from the inside out is they constantly demanded a sign from God, but never looked around to see how God was working right in front of their eyes. We could take their attitude and compare it to those who are constantly demanding for the Lord to do something in their lives, but never take the time to look around at God's creation. Are constantly wanting to know, is God real? Is God real? Look around. Look at all of these people. See God's characteristics and creativity and artistic ability in creating each one of you. Look at the creation around. Look at the technology that we have. Focus on His Word and see how God has given us so many signs to show that He's here. But they constantly demanded a sign, but never saw how God was working right in front of their eyes. In Matthew 21, we see another thing that the Pharisees have done in verses 12 and 13. Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who had bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My Father's house shall be a house of prayer,' but you've made it to a den of thieves." What these Pharisees had done is they had made the church, or they had made their faith, more about money and less about ministry. They made God's house more about making profit on people's worship. They were so consumed with the financial side that they totally missed the point. We can take that and relate it to today, that the church is about the ministry. Certainly it requires money to function, but money is not the greatest thing in the church. God is, and we must never, ever forget that. And so they were also focused on everything else, that they forgot that the point of the temple was to worship. Where they could have been aiding people in their worship as people would have come and traveled long distances and needed to buy some type of dove or a lamb to sacrifice, instead of being able to offer that at a reasonable, acceptable price, here they are hassling people, making them stressed out. And instead of these people able to focus on making their sacrifices to the Lord, here they are worried about, are they going to be able to even afford it? Where they could have been helping people worship, they instead hassled them and got other people's focus off of worship. As we stroll through the book of Matthew, where Byron read the text for us this morning, you come to chapter 23. And it almost seems as though Jesus, up until this point, has sort of dealt with the Pharisees and has taught them as best he can. But in chapter 23, he really takes some time to focus on many of their faults. And he really gets to the root of the problem. And we're going to look at four different things that Jesus points out in Matthew 23. So you can turn there and keep your Bibles open there. We're going to start in verse 5 of Matthew 23. "All their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Basically, what Jesus is pointing out is that they were focused on their own performance. They had taken God's command in Deuteronomy 6 to keep the word of God on their hearts and on their minds literally, and would create make these little boxes and would strap them to their foreheads and to their left arm so that the word of God, and then they would write scriptures on little pieces of paper and put it in the boxes so that the word of God was constantly, literally, always on their mind and always near their heart. And to look better, they would make their boxes bigger. And we would probably look at them and go, "That's pretty foolish. Why in the world would you walk around with some big old box on your head?" But they were focused on performance. They were focused on receiving the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And instead of using their talents and abilities to further the kingdom of God, they simply used them to further their own recognition and authority. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves it when we're at our best. God loves it when we use what He has given us to our best ability. And if God has given you some ability, whether you're a great song leader, whether you're a great Bible class teacher, whether you work well with children, whether you're a great cook, He's calling you to use that to your best ability. Please don't misunderstand me there. But where the Pharisees have taken this and have gone the wrong direction is in using this for their own praise. For people to say, "Oh, he is so wonderful. Oh, she is so good." And that's all they lived off of, was the praise of men. Now, we all love encouragement, don't we? And it's certainly good to be encouraged. But if that's all we're living for, then we miss the point, just like the Pharisees. Second thing they did in chapter 23 is found in verses 12 through 15. verses 13 through 15. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Basically, what they had done is they were trying to convert people to the kingdom of God, but because of their own errors, instead of converting people to the kingdom of God, they were converting them of what Jesus describes to hell. I once heard a speaker before he was getting ready to speak said a prayer in front of the congregation, and one of the things he said in that prayer, I'll never forget it, he said, "Lord, remove me out of the way so that people can see the cross." That's always stuck with me. That as I speak, it's not about how eloquent or ineloquent I speak or how good the message is. It's about communicating God's message and allow it to do its work. That's why Paul can say, it doesn't matter how good of a speaker I am, the power is in the message of the cross. That I can be the worst speaker ever, but if I can get the message to you, God will do the rest of the work. That it's not about the speaker, it's about the message. That's what the Pharisees didn't understand. They made the message of God more about them and less about the message. Jesus said, "You'll travel a far off distance to convert someone, but you failed in it because they missed the point." We're going to skip one point and go on towards the end as we're running out of time. In verses 25 through 28 that Byron read for us, they appeared to be spiritual on the outside, but on the inside, Jesus says, they were dead and dirty. They tried to look spiritual to others, but inside they were dead. They were a corpse walking around and they were proud of it. They thought putting makeup on a dead body made everything okay. And even though they may have fooled some, we certainly know they didn't fool God. So those are the things that we do so that we're not changed from the inside out for God. Now, if we want to be changed, what do we do? How do we keep from becoming a Pharisee in our thinking and in our actions? How do we allow God to continue to change us into change? I can think of no better place than of Luke chapter 18, another parable that Jesus taught. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus spoke this parable in verse 9 to those who trusted in themselves and were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so as much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Three things, if you want to be changed from the inside out, that you will understand, that you come to a realization. Number one, you realize who you're talking to. We're talking to the creator of the world. We're talking to the one who created in a word. We're talking to the one who created us, who formed me before I was, as Jeremiah 1 points out. We're talking to the one who continues to sustain the earth. We're talking to the one who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. We're talking to the creator of the world. If we will always realize who we're talking to, it will continue to allow God to change us from the inside out. Number two, we realize who we are. Just like the tax collector said, he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner, a filthy sinner." You know, Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says that our righteousness in God's eyes is like filthy rags. Our righteousness on our own is nothing but nasty, dirty, useless rags. Because we're the ones who walked away from the Creator. We're the ones who decided to do things on our own. And now here we are trying to return to God. We're the ones who caused God the pain and caused Him to send Jesus to the cross. We're the ones who are helpless and can no longer save ourselves. God is the only one who can save us. We realize who we are, filthy sinner, and that will constantly allow us to be changed from the inside out and molded more and more into the image of Jesus. And number three, we realize who is in control. And that's the creator of the world. We need to realize that God works everything out according to His will. That He brings about good from each and every, or can bring about good from each and every situation, as Romans 8:28 points out. We must remember this statement so that God can continue to change us. He is able. Would you say that this morning with me? He is able. Let's do it again. He is able. Don't you ever forget that. God is able to change you. God is able to work everything out in your life just as it needs to be. God is able to provide for you. God is able to take care of all of your worries. God is able to take care of all of your family. God is able to provide and to nourish. And ultimately and most importantly, God is able to save. Because of that, because we realize who we're talking to, we realize who we are, and we realize who is in control, God can continue to change us from the inside out. So the question this morning is very simple. Are you allowing God to change you from the inside out? Are you doing as the Pharisees do and continue to block God's entrance into your life? Have you become so focused on doing stuff and earning your salvation that you've forgotten the most fundamental aspect of salvation? And that's allowing God to work in you. God wants your heart, not just your actions. He is just as concerned with how we love as He is with what we know and what we do. We must always remember that we are all sinners saved by grace. We all need to be changed from the inside out. Don't forget, God is able. And I hope this morning that your attitude is the same as that of that tax collector. Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. I hope today that your prayer and desire will be for God to change you from the inside out. And if you've never allowed God to enter your life and you've never allowed Him to wash your sins away through baptism, I hope this morning you'll decide to do that. That you'll allow Him to come in and take residence in your life, to place His Spirit within you as He washes your sins away in that water, and that you will then start living for Him and allowing Him to mold you more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you've blocked His entrance into your life, that you've gone to those waters of baptism, but really you've become routine and ritualistic in your faith. You've more identified with the Pharisees than with the Son of God. Then this morning, it's very simple. Break down those walls. Allow Him to come back in and to continue to change you more and more into the image of Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation, whether it be through baptism or through prayers from this congregation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?